GamChat Podcast is a member of the Bung Collective, podcast that came to play. Visit our website at thebungph.com.
Nag-uulat mula sa shore na kasing pretty ko.
Bringing you the latest and greatest.
And diving deep into the cool waters.
Of BLs and GLs.
And every kind of love there is.
We are the Shippers.
Sail with us as we watch our favorite queer love stories.
And update you about the latest every week.
Kaya tara, sakay na as we sail the open seas.
With new episodes Mondays and Wednesdays on all major podcast streaming platforms.
Sakay na you, Terlet. Let's go!
This is GamChat. My name is Greg.
I'm McCoy.
And I'm Dee.
We're three Filipino gay guys trying to make sense of anything and everything in the world today. Welcome to our podcast.
Wait, sorry. Is McCoy visible from your end?
Okay. Yes, McCoy is just drinking his coffee and his.
Oh, no, it's not. Exclamation on my end.
But
I can hear him audio. Okay, I just didn't want
to. Yeah,
out.
That explanation point seems to follow McCoy wherever he goes.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay.
So, guys. Anything that happened this past week that you want to talk about? Any profound realization or things that you realized that was like, oh, I could have died several times, you know, stuff like that.
What? Could have died several times? Don't you think McCoy should take the lead on this one? Because that was an interesting little spin on this question.
Like, I don't even know why we're here.
It's my own segment, really.
The McCoy segment.
Actually, you know, because I listen to a lot of true crime, and sometimes I'll watch documentaries on Netflix, and I just realized how many hookups have I had in my lifetime, especially back then. I could have met someone who could have killed me.
That is true.
And I always make an excuse like, no, it's a small community. We all know each other. But then, like, those people who killed all these people, I'm sure their neighbor said, oh, he was a quiet guy. He was very nice.
Exactly. Yeah, just like that. What's that, the Netflix thing, the don't fuck with cats? It's like one of us could have been, like, a victim if he just happened to be in the U.S. Yeah. Instead of Canada.
So I feel like I got lucky in more than one ways, but you know.
You survived.
I did. How about you guys?
I'm all thinking here. Well, you know, I did have an epiphany. Not epiphany. I was out with my friends were visiting from New York. And we're all hanging out at the beach. And I was thinking, wow, you know, I remember having a conversation with them thinking, wow, we're all alive.
Not for long.
Wow. Just rain on my parade. No, but, you know, like, just to be at this age in our life, you know, and all the trials and tribulations that we have gone through, just to be alive and breathing and healthy is an accomplishment. So I get that.
Well, trials and tribulations we have gone through. How about trials and tribulations that you put people through? Have you ever thought of that?
Again, you guys are both trying to rain on my parade. Like, yeah, that's not... No, McCoy, we're not going to go there, okay? I'm just going to be, like, taking in life and be, like, breathing about life. And I was like, wow, no matter what, like, if you're listening to this podcast right now, you are lucky to be...
Listening? I
was like, okay. Alive. Listening. Bless your soul. You're lucky to be listening. to my cackle.
Like, we don't know what condition you're in, but just whatever it is. Consider it to be lucky.
Yes, actually, yeah. Yeah. So I think that's what I learned. Thank you for bringing that up, McCoy. Because I'm like, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, you always say, you know, be grateful. Or be more grateful about things you have.
Oh, speaking of that, so we were at the beach. I was with my friends, and then my cousin were there with her kids, her beautiful kids. And, like, so everybody had their phones out, doing, you know, taking pictures. And I remember I didn't take my phone out at all. I was just looking around. And I'm like, I'm just going to download this in my brain right now instead of taking a picture. I'm going to try to hold on to this memory as long as I can. So I didn't take any pictures. Everyone else did, which is great. But I don't know. I was trying to take a different approach. I'm my own Instagram.
Actually, I agree with you, but I'd like to take at least one picture and then be present in the moment. I know some people who would take like 50 pictures of the same thing.
Not even different angles.
Yeah, yes. And then they can post it later. But I think you're missing the value of being present.
Yeah. Actually, I went to an event yesterday, and I was talking to the mom. So it was like a debut. So like I knew all the trouble that she went to prepare for the event. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like the hiring the vendors and all of that. And one of the, not a headache, but like one thing that she was really worried about that she worked on a lot was the photographer and videographer leading up to the event. So, you know, she was finally comfortable. She's accepted the price, not happy about it, but she's accepted that that's what she'll pay for. But the day of the event, here she was like staring in a screen, recording the event with her iPhone, like, you know, like the 18 roses and the 18 candles. Like she was on her phone recording it. And I went up to her. I was like, oh my God, remember you went through hell to pay and get this videographer, photographer to, you know, to be here tonight. So put your phone away and be present because you're paying someone else to do their job. You know, you don't need, your phone is like going to be very, you know, like low quality compared to the people that you pay for. So that's what people forget sometimes, like even weddings. It's like, you'll see pictures, like, it's the, oh, I posted it first kind of thing.
Yeah.
Rather than the quality of the product. So that's why I kind of try to remind people.
But you know what else that's been bothering me lately? I mean, it's bothered me a long time before. When you're having dinner with people and almost everyone's on their phone.
Yes.
I make a conscious effort to not pick up my phone. If I do pick it up, it'll be quick just to see if I have any messages, and then I'll put it down. In fact, I even have it I have it face down so I don't get distracted if anything pops up, because I want to be present. But oftentimes I'm just sitting there eating my food and not saying anything because everyone else is occupied, and it's really upsetting. Like, what have we come to? It's like, you can't even have a conversation over like your meal.
One of the reasons why I started carrying like small bags now, because I just put my phone in a bag where it's like, and then I put the bag either like behind me or like somewhere a little bit where I would have to reach out and make an effort to like grab the bag, unzip the bag, pull my phone out, and like be on it. So that's one thing I started doing, and like to be conscious more about it.
Well, my excuse for picking up my phone from time to time to look at it, because my phone is permanently on silent.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be bothered by the sound. Like, if I see you called and you left a message, I'll call you back. Or if you text, I'll reply to you when I finally see it. That's why, just in case there's like an emergency, at least I can see it. But that never really happens. I'm no one's emergency call.
Well, my approach when I'm eating with folks, and then I start to notice like two or three people start going on their phones, and I'll say, oh, are we all taking an Instagram break? Is this a gram break that we're all doing? Because I need to know so that way I could just do it too. You know, I call them out on it. Like, why don't you guys pick out your filters and let me know?
So passive aggressive, just say.
I know.
No, it's like straight up. I'm like, because I need to know. I'm not too honest. I'm like, so, because I need to know, because I'm literally waiting there. Like, sometimes you're like literally waiting for everyone to get off their phone, or they're too busy looking down. I'm like, come on, guys. Like, seriously, tell me so I can take a break. I can at least go pee.
No, actually, what I do is, if it's family, sometimes there's nothing you can do because that's the way they are. But if it's like a friend or someone I just met, or an acquaintance or a friend, like I said, and if they do that to me, I'll make a mental note to never have dinner with you.
See, that's passive aggressive. At least I say it out loud. You're like, okay, I'm going to make a note. You'll never see my face again. Like, come on.
No, that's an exaggeration. I will, if you invite me for dinner, I will really think about it really hard. Because your actions have consequences. And sorry.
You call me passive aggressive. having
dinner with me is such a blessing because I'm like an amazing conversationalist.
So amazing that they go on their phone.
Yeah. Well, they don't see the benefit because they don't want to converse with me. So why should I converse with them?
Oh,
actually, it's really annoying. It's like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Like I didn't leave the house, so I can be on my phone. Like we should just text each other, and I'll be on my bed. You know, like come on. It's weird. Anyway,
I have done that actually. When I'm at dinner and someone goes on their phone, I'll just like just call my phone and text them. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, look up. I see you. It always shocks them. So speaking of being on your phone, a lot of us go to our phones for the news. So in today's episode, we're all looking at news headlines. Well, quite frankly, there's a lot going on in the news in the U.S. That's just... You know, we wanted to do this sooner, but I think we just need time to process, because let's be honest, living in the United States has changed the way we live, and the way our politics has changed, and even our rights has changed over this summer. So, in today's episode, we are looking at these news headlines, and we are talking about them, and we are processing it with you. Or processing it why some of us drink. McCoy has an alcoholic beverage. What are you drinking today, McCoy?
Oh, it's just Malibu rum with pineapple juice. I needed my vitamin C, and I wanted to add something to that.
And pineapple juice, as if you didn't listen to our last episode about spit, swallow, or... share.
Yes.
McCoy is taking his pineapple. Andy, yes. Are you drinking anything?
Water. Ice water.
Hydrate. Yes, it is a hot day.
It is 100. It's 100 something in a valley. I need water.
He needs to cool down because it's so heated.
It's going to be a hot topic. And then I am drinking a bottle of rosé, not from the glass, but directly from the bottle because it is one of those days.
Hey, isn't rosé the one you mix with something and you said it's really good?
Yes, I sometimes mix my rosé with vanilla bean ice cream. Yeah, I was at a party, I started doing it. The parents seemed to like it.
And you serve it to the kids?
Well, until I was like, hey, kids, you guys want some rosé floats? And they were like, in awe when all the parents were like, Greg, don't do that. I was like, but it's just grape juice.
It's true.
Yeah, I got in trouble, but whatever. They survived, we survived. But are we going to survive the news we're going to share with everyone? That is a whole different question. So, McCoy, why don't you lead us to the first headline we're going to talk about?
Oh, I'm leading it?
Yeah, because...
Okay.
You are. You're drinking pineapple juice.
Okay. So, a few days ago... Is that a few days or like a couple of weeks now?
A couple of weeks now.
I don't even know. It kind of started during COVID, but like it feels like
So about a couple of weeks now, the Supreme Court, who is majority conservative justices,
the highest court of the land.
Yes. So there's a lawsuit that was brought up. It's Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization ruling. And what the Supreme Court did was they used this lawsuit to overturn Roe v. Wade, which has been in the books for...
50 plus years?
It was a landmark ruling from 1973. And it established constitutional rights to abortion nationwide. So what this decision does is the Supreme Court's decision to throw out the federal abortion rights, and it's been around for nearly 50 years, it gives the states the power to decide their own abortion laws. And several Republican-led states across the country have banned the procedure in the wake of the ruling, which is more with more restrictions expected to come. But let's be honest, even before this decision, they've been trying to do that.
The conservatives have.
Yeah. The states that are ruled by conservative houses and government.
Republicans, yeah.
Yes. So they've been trying to do that, except now they have the authority, really. Like, they can't be challenged.
Yeah. So they overturned this ruling Roe v. Wade. You know, and you know, talk about history a little bit. Did you guys all know that abortion, banning abortion, wasn't a big thing before the 70s?
What do you mean?
Like, there were even churches that were, like, for the woman's right to choose for her body.
So what turned?
What turned? Actually, not specifically the church, but politicians seeing that, you know, abortion could not only raise money, but it also could garner votes and power.
Yes.
In the conservative movement. Yes. And then that's when the tides changed, when they wanted these abortion bans, taking women's right to choose for herself. But if you think about it, like, there was a, like, abortion's been around, what, since Jesus H. Christ. This idea of an abortion isn't like a new modern concept, but I gotta say, there's nothing, you know, Jesus, if it was a big thing back then, wouldn't Jesus have put it, like, say something about it? You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand, like, why it took centuries and centuries and centuries. All of a sudden the church is like, oh yeah, a woman doesn't have a right to this.
No, I do want to acknowledge that there are some people who believe that this is murder based on religious beliefs or whatnot. And that's their point of view. And I can see that, and I'll acknowledge it. But Roe v. Wade, it wasn't a law, or it wasn't a ruling back then that told people you have to get this done, whether you like it or not. This is for people who wanted to get the service, so they can have access to safe and legal abortion.
Safe, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's about safe access to abortion. And that's the thing, like, before then, like, women's health, like, there was, like, deaths, and then there was these back alley abortion clinics because they couldn't go anywhere for this.
I mean, I saw this coming, to be honest with you. I saw this coming because, you know, how some states, they were passing legislations that made it more difficult for clinics to stay open. Like, for example, they had to have admitting rights. The doctors at the clinics that perform abortion, they have to have admitting rights in, like, local hospitals.
In hospitals, yeah.
And, you know, it's not that easy to get sometimes. And sometimes one state would have one clinic for the whole entire state.
But at the end of the day, I just thought the Supreme Court wouldn't overturn this. I mean, if you think about when those three justices, the three FN justices that were appointed under one of, like, under a president who didn't get the popular vote, got these three conservatives, and these three freaking conservatives said they would not do this, and they did it, and they lied.
Yeah, they lied.
I still thought the Supreme Court wouldn't do this, take this route.
I mean, but look at the examples that we had. The one that got away with sexual harassment and abuse. And
both of them, two of them.
Like, these are the ones who stood there, who was in trial, or who was being scrutinized by that. And, you know, it was expected. And the thing is, like McCoy said, it sucks that we saw this coming, but I felt like we couldn't really do anything about it at that time. I'm actually just looking forward to the things that are coming up that can just, like, mitigate this decision. Like, I'm not sure how affected it would be, but, you know, the arguments that the other side are coming up with. One article that I saw was Mississippi House Speaker Philip Gunn, who said that even a 12-year-old girl victim of an incest cannot get an abortion.
Oh, yeah. I heard this.
She should go through that process no matter what. And it's like, okay, so that's what kind of father you are. Ugh. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just going to judge him by that, right? And then also the counterpart of, like, okay, so if a woman was, a pregnant woman was driving in a carpool lane, she should be able to drive. She shouldn't be able to get a ticket because what? That's life. They consider that life. They should also be able to claim taxes on that because what? You consider it life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So right now, life is before they even give birth. So I'm just looking forward to, like, how they can mitigate all these decisions. And let's see if they're really going to honor what they consider life to be, or are they just cherry picking, like what they do anyways?
Oh, dear, they always cherry pick. But you know what? I think it's clear from our reactions that we pretty much disagree with the decision. And you know what's going for us is about, not about, Pew Research did a poll. Let me just, hold on. Pew Research Center did a poll, and 57% of Americans disagree with this decision, and 43% of the whole population strongly disagree. So, you know, public opinion is on our side on this.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's nothing much public opinion can do regarding this decision at this point.
Yeah, and it's frustrating because a majority of Americans believe a woman has a right to choose for herself. A majority of Americans.
Well, unelected justices, tell us.
Okay, so let's talk about this for a second, okay? What I thought, like, the Supreme Court wouldn't take this route because it's going to delegitimize the judicial judicial system, like the court. I mean, we have three branches of government: the executive, the legislative, and the judicial. Like, these are unelected officials, like you said. Three of them were voted in because, or nominated by, an unpopular president, didn't get a majority of vote. There's no checks and balances. Like, where are the checks and balances? Like, if they throw this out, it's gonna lead to other things. Like, it just, I'm just shocked. I'm just shocked.
You know what, Greg, you keep saying the three, right? Actually, one of them was nominated during an election season when it was when Trump and Hillary were still campaigning. A Republican-led Senate said, Mitch McConnell, talking to you, said, it's an election season, let's wait for the next president to nominate. Now, the newest member, if I'm not mistaken, was nominated during an election season, but the next winner didn't get that benefit, who eventually was Joe Biden, because a Republican pushed it through because they really have no honor in the Senate. I'm sorry. Well, actually, I'm not sorry. Senate Republicans, you have no honor.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, we saw this coming in the sense that they're filling the judicial system full of right-wing radical conservatives, I would say, right? For years.
They were doing that with, like, the federal courts up until, like, you know, up
correct
to the Supreme Court.
I just thought, like, your oath to the office and to the system would outweigh your Christian beliefs that you want to impose on a majority of Americans.
Or your political leanings. Actually, Justice Robert, is it Roberts or Robert?
I just hope there's one of them.
No, Justice
John G. Roberts.
Oh, it is Roberts. You know, I give him credit, a little bit of credit, well, actually a lot, because there were decisions where he sided with a more progressive side of the court when there were a lot more of them than now. And actually, it shocked some of the conservatives because they didn't expect that. But unfortunately, it seems like he's no longer the leader, although he's a chief justice.
It seems like Clarence Thomas,
he's in charge now.
Yeah.
Well, he's been biding his time.
I don't know. There's so many things, like, I have to think about this. It's just, it's upsetting, to say the least.
Now we have to consider, what else are they going to fuck with? And, like, surprise us with, right?
Oh, it's not a surprise anymore, Dee. Let's use Justice Clarence Thomas's own words. So after this decision, actually, there was an article from the Huffington Post that talks about this. And what the first sentence was, if Clarence Thomas gets his way, which he did, abortion rights are only the beginning of what should fall. What this article is saying is, Thomas said justices should also reconsider other cases that rest on their rights to privacy, specifically rights to protecting contraception, access, and same-sex relationships. And the quote is, in future cases, we should reconsider all this court's substantive due process precedents, including Griswold, which is contraception, Lawrence, which is sexual conduct with member of the same sex, and Obergefell, which is the same-sex marriage. So,
yeah,
they're talking about...
He missed one about the interracial marriages.
Well, he can't do that. Because
why not?
Because he's married to a white woman. Clarence Thomas is black.
Yes. So, well, we can't be a hypocrite, right? We're opening all doors, so we should open everything. Why is it, like, you know, avoided when it's specific to him?
That'd be hilarious. I mean, there's so much corruption, honestly, with Justice Thomas. because of his wife
mm-hmm.
and her role in insurrection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how he didn't, you know, recuse himself of taking on cases that were around that election. So it's like, where are the checks and balances on this shit?
Look. I don't participate in it. I'm just a spectator. But Black Twitter has denounced him to be a part of the community. that's how bad he has it. Right?
Black Twitter.
Oh, God, guys, I want to go back to the article because it seems like another conservative justice, Justice Alito, kind of contradicted Clarence Thomas. But I think it's just for a show. Like, they're,
what do you mean?
They are not in sync with the messaging, but I think Justice Alito, if I'm being honest, is like a wink wink, you know, to his base. And what this article says is, this case has how long been in the crosshairs of conservatives who mock the idea that there's a constitutional right to privacy. Weird that they're saying that. Yet, in his opinion for the majority Friday when the decision came out, Justice Samuel Alito said the Dobbs outcome, which is the Dobbs, the lawsuit, the Dobbs outcome absolutely does not mean that conservatives want to go after those decisions. He even mocked liberal justices' dissent for drawing comparison between the abortion rights and the rights recognized in Griswold, which is contraception. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Eisenstadt, which is the same contraception, Lawrence, which is the sexual conduct between members of the same sex, and Obergefell, which is the same-sex marriage. End quote. Perhaps this is designed to stoke unfounded fear that our decision will imperil those rights, he added.
Yeah, but you know what? That could be looking to like, hey, you know what? Don't worry. We're not going to touch that. And bam. Mm.
Yeah. That's just why I'm going back to like delegitimizing this branch of government. Like, one, it's judicial like activism where they're actually writing and changing our laws, right?
Yeah.
Which is, that's not what the branch is supposed to do. Two is that if people do not have trust in this branch, and states do not have trust in this branch, and the Americans don't, the citizens do not, then it totally delegitimizes it. You know, it's like, how do we trust it? Like, where's the truth? Like, what's the bottom line here? Like, and then you're talking about, you know, like Samuel Alito, Justice Alito, and Clarence, like, wait, what is this? Just like a radical, like crazy conservative Christian right court that's just deciding for Americans' freedom? Like, what the hell? And you're going crazy right now.
Well, Greg, let me push back a bit. And this is just for the sake of challenging what you just said and not because I disagree with you. You said something about they are creating laws. They are being activist justices, right?
Judicial activism, yeah.
There you go. But when some of these decisions came out, just like the Roe v. Wade, for example, or the same-sex marriage or this contraception, that's exactly what they were saying about the justices that voted to pass these decisions to give right to give access to abortions and to have equal rights in marriage for same-sex couples, etc.
But I think that's a concept about that, is that giving everyone the freedom to make their own decisions to what they think will benefit them, not one governing body telling them, no, you can't. This is the only way that you can do it. Because, I mean, like, the thing with abortion is, like, it doesn't force you to get an abortion. It just tells you that you are...
You have access to it.
You have, you know, it's accessible for you to do if you needed to, right? Mm-hmm. Just like marriage. Gay marriage was passed. It's available if you want to. It doesn't mean that every gay guy, every gay couple, every same-sex couple is going to get married. It's just accessible for you.
It doesn't mean that if you're straight, you're going to be forced to marry someone of the same sex. Yes.
Exactly. So it's, and that's the opposite of what they're doing, is that they're telling you, no, you can't do. You can't do so and so.
And then also, I'm gonna quickly add, too, is that, you know, back when, you know, passing like same-sex marriage, it was all about expanding someone's right. And the Constitution is supposed to be like a living, breathing thing that reflects and changes, right? An interpretation of the population and the society where it's going. Here we have Justice Alito referring to women's right to abortion, like looking at what medieval times, like references, you know?
Well, let's be clear. It's like a lot of I don't want to generalize, but there are some conservatives out there, politicians, that use the Constitution as a shield if it benefits them, but they use it as a weapon against someone they don't agree with.
They use the Constitution only when it benefits, or they use like the First Amendment right or whatever, Second Amendment right, when it benefits, like when they use it for like, discrimination, I would say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and this is what we're seeing right now.
Yeah. But I do like what you said about, you know, the rulings prior to this that expanded rights. That's what the Constitution is about. It's supposed to expand rights. It's supposed to grow with society, et cetera, et cetera. But this decision kind of proves that their mindset is, we want to limit it if we don't agree with it. We want to expand it like gun rights, like they did with the New York decision. We want to expand it when we agree with it. I think they made a decision on I think a law in New York, and that decision expanded gun rights or gun access or something like that.
That's just the crazy part about this court, is that when it chooses to look at history, when it's not wants to look at history as a reference to guide them on their decisions, right?
Yeah.
So it's almost like you have this gun law about the concealed, like New York's like concealed gun law. That's been around for, what, 109 plus years? And how they view that, and then how they view, like, a woman's right to abortion, right? Mm-hmm. It's like they're picking and choosing whatever's convenient for their religious beliefs or their conservatives' beliefs.
Okay. It's in the Constitution, right, Greg, that there should be a separation between church and state.
Yes.
Am I right? Okay.
I think so. So that's always been known. Better be in the damn Constitution. Fuck.
No, I think there is. And I think there's a Congress person from Georgia, I believe, I don't even know if it's her or her friend, who is now questioning that or making statements implying that separation of church and state is stupid and it should be looked at or something like that. Yeah. That's in the Constitution. I thought that's your Bible or something. All of a sudden you want to change it.
And then did you guys hear about that recent ruling of this damn Supreme Court about the coach who made the team players pray? To pray.
Wait, made the what?
Pray. And the thing is about, look at this case, it's like, the students, like the football team that this football coach was like having everybody pray, the students, the kids on the team said they didn't feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And they talked to the parents and they talked to this. And like, why is he making us pray before a football game at a public school, federally funded, you know, education? Like what?
So is that accessible for everyone else? So if someone was to do a Muslim prayer, like, is that going to be accepted? Or is that going to be like, hey, why are you forcing my kid to do that? If it's one way that it's just a Christian prayer that's accepted, then let's sue every fucking thing that's available.
Oh, D, don't bring... No, Muslim prayer is not going to be allowed because that's Sharia law, D. Don't you know?
Picking and choosing. Right? Yeah. And that's what I'm looking forward to, is like people challenging these rules just so they can see, like, well, you know what? You want to open a can of worms? Here's the rest of it.
Yeah. I like you were mentioning earlier, Dee, about the case in Texas about the woman who is, like, I think 32 weeks pregnant.
32 months, I think that's...
That's too much.
That's a case
32
for...
weeks pregnant. Yeah. And so what she was saying, that, like, when she took the HOV lane, we have to have two or more.
Yeah.
She's saying, well, my fetus is a living thing now that it's court. They gave her a ticket, right?
Yeah.
And now she's like, okay, I'm going to sue.
Yeah.
Because what are you going to pick and choose? But you know what I really love right now, too, is actually in Florida, I think a rabbi or the Jewish community over there is actually suing Florida.
Yeah.
Because of this. Because it is their religious belief that woman has the right to abortion.
Yeah.
If it comes to her life. Or what she decides for herself. And also, it's been argued that the Muslim community is actually also joining on this lawsuit.
Yeah.
Saying that you are trampling on my religious beliefs because you're saying that I cannot have an abortion.
But like McCoy said, are they really going to recognize the other religions?
Correct. But I love that you were talking about, like, this is all about, because the legal system right now is going to be a hot mess.
Yeah.
Like, the cases, and they're going to have to decide, well, let's be honest, are you going to pick just Christianity? Like, put them on the spot. Like, what? Where's the line drawn? Because right now it's a mess on all the states. Because it's like, if a woman, like, if it's against the federal law, if a woman went to another state, can the state prosecute her? You know, like, where's the boundaries here?
But you know what, though? I do want to shed light on a positive development within the Supreme Court, that now we have the first female black justice.
Yes, that's big. That's huge.
That's big, and it's positive.
But can I also add to that, though?
Go ahead.
So I was having lunch with my friends, and we're just talking about being people of color, and you know, in the United States, and how we have to work 10 times harder, have more experience, then come at the table. Justice Brown, she is so overqualified more than all the justices. Like, I think it's hilarious. Yeah. Like, you know, and I think that shows so much. I love it, but it also shows, like, wow, you know, you have to, I don't know, I love it, but it also shows a lot, right? Like, you, as a person of color in the United States, that you have to work 10 times harder and have so much more on your resume than anyone else, than a white person.
Well, isn't there another justice that's failing you? Did she have the same experience as Justice Brown? But she got rushed in there, didn't she?
Yes. What can we do, y'all? What do you think? I mean, okay, so we've been looking on social media, and I'm sure you guys have been looking at that and seeing conversations. Why everyone tries to deal with this?
They did. There was a protest. Wasn't there a protest in D.C.?
There's protests like everywhere. Yeah, there's been from L.A. downtown, to Salt Lake to Texas.
We shut down some freeways in L.A. County. So, but yeah. One thing that I've been actually looking at, I haven't. I'm not yelling much about it. I'm just doing whatever I can do on my end. But I have, like, checked out and sent some whatever I can to abortionfunds.org. So they provide funding to states and facilities that provide abortions. And I think the next step would be, I like that companies, even high fashion companies, are showing up and saying they will provide funding for their employees who is looking to get procedures done. That's going to be travel expenses and, you know, lodging while they're there. If you are not able to step out there physically and, like, be heard and, like, contribute to the noise to make the changes, that one website, abortionfunds.org, is, like, a good source to kind of check things out, or if you have some, you know, money to spare to donate.
I like that one.
But, you know, there's something else I kind of want to say before I give you my idea of what can we do.
Yes.
As a cisgendered male who really does not intend to have any children, I think my opinion on abortion rights for women should not count as much, because I don't have to go through what they have to go through. It's because it seems like all this men in the legislature here in the U.S. and all this men in the Supreme Court are making decisions for female. It's like, what? Yeah. And you target them. Why? Because if you have to go through what they have to go through, we would be definitely expanding rights. That's for sure.
Yeah, but the thing is that they don't see them as equals. That's why. You know, that the judgment, the scrutinizing, like, vision that they have for them, it really isn't because they see them as equals. It's like they just see them as one object, and that's it.
Go ahead, Greg.
Well, and I was going to say to McCoy, is like, I wouldn't discredit your voice, actually. You know, I think as a cisgender male, like, you, this is a good time to speak up. You know, this is a good time to have those conversations, and be more supportive. I'm going to share something. Back in my high school days, girls that I knew in high school that I was friends with, I helped them go through their abortions. Teens have sex, and when it comes to heterosexual sex, I guess, teen girls get pregnant. There's a high probability of that they will get pregnant if it's not safe. So I have seen the emotional and physical hardships a teenage girl experiences when making this decision in their lives. And a majority of their time, their parents are not involved. They don't know about it because it's difficult to tell them, and or they can get physically beat down by their own parents. Their boyfriends at the time were all whack as hell. And I will say, in California, like, it's affordable and it's safe to get the procedure done, the medical procedure done. So when it comes to cisgender gay boy that I am, like, we can still be supportive during this time and during this movement. And I have to admit, the girls that I knew back then made the right decisions for themselves. And in my opinion, their lives would have been a lot harder if they became teenage moms.
Well, this is the first time I'm going to talk about this, I think, ever. Right out of high school, I had a girlfriend, and she was still in high school. We were like, I'm like a year older. And she, her menstruation, her period was late. And we were kind of concerned that maybe she might be pregnant. And we had to have this honest, difficult conversation about this. And it's a scary decision. It's a scary conversation to have. But it kind of opened my eyes up to the idea that, oh my God, other people are going through this. And it's like a heart-wrenching conversation to have. But I'm not going to go into detail about what the conversation was about. It was a false alarm anyway. But, you know, it's difficult.
It's extremely difficult. And then when you think about, like, when you bring, like, when you go to the abortion clinic, so what even, like, pisses me off even more is that when they already have to go through a difficult time in their life, and a lot of times alone in making a big decision and thinking about what their future is going to be like, you know, this is not an easy decision. And then when they go to the abortion clinic, it is so upsetting that these right wingers, pro-lifers who are not pro-life,
picketing us, sir.
Yeah, fuck them. They're not pro-life, are holding signs and yelling at the young woman that go there and make them and shaming them and, you know, demeaning them. And it makes it so much more harder. And that's what not what they need in that moment. And it pisses me off.
Well, going back to what can we do, and I like what you said, Dee. And I'm all for voicing your opinion or being out in the streets to protest. But let's channel that energy into elections, because I've said this over and over. Elections do matter, especially midterm election, because the people that vote these justices in are the people that we vote in.
Yeah, and also to add to that, it's like now that we have a dysfunctional branch of the government that's just on its, you know, conservative Christian movement, now it's more important to even to elect the officials in your state that protects your right, that could, you know, codify, like, you know, a woman's right to her body in the state constitution. Mm-hmm. But I also want to add, my friend, she's also on Instagram, she's _ Mighty Mighty. Her name is Maita, and she actually talked about another route to take, which is, I thought was quite interesting. Have you guys heard of sister states or sister cities? Mm-hmm. It's basically like, let's say, like Los Angeles paired up with, I don't know, Manila, and said Manila's our sister city, and they would support each other. But if the state of California, for example, we have almost 40 million Californians, but if we teamed up, let's say, with Texas, and we push all our effort to fund and support politicians and communities and cities in that state, we focus all our effort to that. That is a possible solution or action we could take. You know, because first of all, like when you find out like this is happening, you're like, oh, I don't know where to devote all my attention to. Like, is it, you know, is it like Wyoming or Omaha, you know, or Florida or somewhere like that, right? And I thought it was quite interesting. Sister states, so adopt almost like a sister city and saying, I will focus on making the phone calls there.
But do you really want to claim Florida as your sister city?
No, he said Texas.
Well, to support them. Texas.
Yeah, but
to support them though.
No. You mentioned Florida. Like I Texas. Yeah, maybe I like Austin, but Florida.
But Florida is probably where we probably should also be helping. You know, like any state where women are at, we should be like, yo, that's especially the ones that are like crazy, which is Florida.
I mean, that's the thing. Just joking around, but like, you know how whenever we see like, oh, this, you know, like an alligator was bitten out of, was like, you say, hey, check, you scroll down, oh, it's Florida. So like, you know, expected.
Wait, what's your the Google, like, what's that thing that they do on like Google, like Google your birthday and put Florida man, and you'll see a new article about Florida man. I don't know, stuck an alligator up his butt. You'll see
what.
Yeah, that's my question. Like, why, like, really do you want Florida? Like, maybe other states. Yeah, I'll claim it. I'll help them, but.
All right. So, McCoy, let me ask you this. Would you suck a racist cock?
Depends on what the cock looks like and what the guy looks like. Because, to be honest, it's not the cock's fault. It's attached to someone who's racist and despicable.
So, you're saying.
It deserves love.
But you could be taking the seed. Take that seat.
Yeah, because my person of color stomach acid will just eat that jizz up and just destroy it.
So you're saying
destroy the racism.
So you're saying that the cock has a life of its own, so it's considered to be a full term like life.
I think in this case, it has the right to go to the Supreme Court and be emancipated from the racist guy that's holding it hostage.
Somebody gonna cut the cock off? Oh, D, I don't think McCoy understands how cock works. Like, it's attached. Like, it's attached.
No, believe me, I know exactly how it works in many different ways.
I guess it also depends on if you're into, like, kink, because some people are into that, like...
Yeah, being, like, you're right.
Like, you know... So, D, now we know what McCoy's into.
Racist Floridians.
But see, if they're
with Confederate flags.
If they're racist, they're not gonna want my mouth anywhere near them.
But you know what? That's the thing, is some of them will still do it.
Yeah, that's true. Not that I know.
Oh my God! Wait, no, there was a Texas politician who was a conservative, mm-hmm. And he was a sheriff, and he was all about like immigration and being anti-immigration. And they found out that one, that he was gay, which is fine, but two, that he was only hooking up with like undocumented like Latino men. And he would hold that over them, like, I'm gonna report you if you don't keep sucking my cock. Yeah, you don't hear about him anymore. I don't know what happens to him, but McCoy, I mean, maybe when you're in Texas next, you could grinder him. is that a thing? Grinder?
Like an old guy. Wait, where Grindr? Is he?
Grinder.
Wait, where is he?
Some border town in Texas.
No, I don't go to the border towns.
I don't know, he's like your typical, like, I don't know, he looks like a Floridian, so, you know, I bet you it's nice and pink, so, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but sometimes it looks sickly if it's like that, like pale and pink.
Just like Florida. Dun, dun, dun. I'm just kidding. I love Florida.
Yeah.
Love Florida. Yeah. Orlando, what? Miami, what? Everything in between? I don't know about that. So, moving on, guys, there are three things dropping this summer.
Mm-hmm.
With headlines, I mean, dropping like it's hot. What's three things? So, what's the first thing? D, what's the first thing?
Three things that we can look forward to, I guess.
Yeah. Dropping like it's hot. Dropping like it's hot.
To continue on that hot girl summer kind of vibe. So, it's going to be Beyoncé's album on the 29th, the Renaissance. So she already gave us a sneak peek of like Break My Soul, which is kind of like a dance thing. You know, no one really expected it to be an electronic.
Wait, who's in Break My Soul?
Is, oh my God, Big Frida.
I love Big Frida. McCoy, have you heard of Big Frida?
No.
From New Orleans.
I saw her live. She's so good. Is she with she or he? I don't know.
To be safe,
I guess Frida, yeah. She. They? Shaw. Yeah. Shaw? You guys have to hear Big Frida. Big Frida is so good. And I was shocked that Beyonce was like, what?
Yeah.
Beyonce and Big Frida will not totally shock, so, but McCoy, you have to listen.
Let's see. Like, okay. Yeah. So she's going to be, no one really knows what's going to come up on the 29th. So
of July?
We'll just be, yeah.
Oh my God. Stay tuned. But, get the rosé out.
But then after that.
The pineapple juice.
So, you know, I mean, like the gays are already going crazy with her song. But that's kind of getting us ready for the next drop. That's coming up would be the monkeypox vaccine. So hopefully it's just in time.
Monkeypox.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll have it in time before, you know, her album comes up, because all the gay guys will be at the club celebrating. And right now it's reported that in LA County there is only official 54 cases that's accounted for, but it's way more than that with how the conversation is going. A lot of people are posting their experiences, how it's affected them, like how painful it is, what to look out for.
Well, can you describe some of the things that you would get if you contract this?
So monkeypox, is it like monkeypox, that's just like regular chicken. Oh, chicken pox, monkey pox. I get it. Sorry.
So what's next?
It's like chicken pox, but like it's called monkey pox.
Well,
I can't wait. Hold on. You just got the connection.
I just got it. I'm just like, oh my God. Sorry.
Okay, Diego.
So they said this is actually a little bit worse. The same symptoms, feverish, blisters, but it really is more painful. Oof. And we don't have it controlled yet. Just like you can get either the blistering,
Florida,
or no. Yeah,
Florida,
basically,
man.
Yeah. No, but I mean, like, you can either get the symptoms would be the blistering without fever, fever without blistering, which is much more scary, and then the third would be like both blisters and fever. Actually, one guy that's making the rounds right now on the internet is Matt Ford. So in his TikTok, he was actually documenting the process, or like how he has been during the quarantine period. So when you do contract monkeypox, I believe it's the quarantine period is 3 to 4 weeks until the blisters have fully, until the blisters have fully, all blisters have been fully healed, that there's a second skin that's new formed and you don't have any open source. And it's also a court mandated quarantining where you'll get a document emailed to you from the court saying that you have to quarantine. But the weird thing is that there is no checking afterwards if you are clear to go out. So you're just kind of like left to your own devices to make sure that on our system, like all the blisters are
being
clear.
Honest.
Yeah. So we're supposed to be expecting the vaccines to be available, especially in LA County, by Monday. That's going to be July 11th. Sorry to date this if we release it late, but hopefully it'll be accessible to you guys by then. But what's kind of scary is that the Department of Health Vaccine Preventable Disease Control Program Director, Andrea Kim, insists that monkeypox right now is considered to be low risk.
What?
But what's scary is that most cases that are affecting it are men, gay men, and transgender women. So I'm just kind of scared that it's going to be our community who will be fucked over by this again.
But isn't it always?
Well, like, I mean, let's see. Well, one is like Pride just passed, so I'm sure there was like a lot of monkeypoxing happening around.
Yes.
But you're right, McCoy. I feel like if anyone in the community, I mean, if anyone is going to bring this to light and address it and be advocates to end it, it's going to be our community, as always.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't, again, monkeypox doesn't discriminate, y'all.
Yeah.
It's not discriminating.
But wait, did you talk about how we contract this?
Yeah, so that's why it's affecting a lot of the gay community, specifically men, gay men, because it's contracted by long period of like skin-to-skin contact and even like items, so sharing towels, beds, bed sheets. So It's our community. I mean, you could be at a club and just gracing against someone. I mean,
no, but it's like long-term contact. You said though, right?
Not naming places, but okay. How long does it take to get a fucking drink at the Abbey when you're just like shoulder to shoulder with someone?
That's true.
And you'll be like, bitch, get away from me, you know?
So yes, just wear like long sleeve shirts or something. And if you're gonna have sex, see if you can buy
long johns,
like a full body condom or something like that.
Just like
yeah, full body condom, like was that film Naked Gun?
Yes.
What would it be like? You standing on a escalator, holding, you know, for a good couple of seconds.
Yeah,
seconds is long term. Like
no, I think it's much longer than that.
What I mean, like okay, let's say you're an escalator is what 30 to a minute sometimes, depending on
a minute. That's really high.
What? I mean,
okay, 30 seconds. 30
it's
seconds.
It's a long escalator. Damn,
okay, fine.
Stop being all like
30 seconds.
Like, well, I mean, okay, if I see this, like 5 seconds, I'm not getting on an escalator. My ass would just walk it, right? But if that's your only option, you're like, okay. But I mean, it really is, you know, kind of getting the panic mode started again where you're like, wipe everything. Hand sanitizer, so...
Well, I'm just still shocked that a lot of people don't even take COVID serious right now. Because you know that new strand was a BA5 that's going around that's more transmissible than Omicron. Like, people still go to places without their mask. And I'm like, y'all, like, you guys all act like it don't exist. I mean, that's why I feel like I'm a little safer now because I'm like, I keep my distance away from people now. I'm like, ugh. 6 feet, y'all. 6 feet.
But I did watch Thor not so long ago, or a couple of days ago, and I was the only one who kept my mask on in the theater because it was crowded already.
Only one?
Yeah, pretty much.
No.
Yes.
Damn, and Thor be naked up in that one, too.
I know.
Just tell
you snake,
what's up there? I know. Nakedness.
See, we're supposed to watch it next week, so I have to make sure I bring my tote with me, because now I'm going to put, like, Lysol wipes there, and, like, because we do IPIC in Pasadena, and that shit is, like, so we're separated from people, and I'm going to wipe that whole
thing. You bougie
bitch. Honestly, how much is IPIC now?
I think it's not bad. I think it's 20. I mean, AMC's 18.
No, IPIC has to be more expensive now.
IPIC is like 30 something.
No,
it was 20. It was 25 back then.
No. Because Amada, okay, I always buy.
Dee keeps on using his student ID for something.
They're gonna be like, "Sorry, where's your son? He's not here." But I mean, like, that's the measures that I take just so I'm not next to anyone. And plus, I just hate sitting next to anyone anyway. So that's, you know, you just have to be careful and, like, wipe everything down as much as I can.
Ugh, yeah, I'm that way too. But monkeypox, oh, good God, dang it. Remember the back in the days when we were younger, we just had to worry about, like, I don't know.
Sunburn.
HIV.
HIV.
syphilis, gonorrhea, herpes.
You know, the
now
most
you have to worry about that plus monkeypox.
You know, it was so
good
uncomfortable
God.
when I went to that clinic to get like a STD test, like, and they do everything, and they swab the back of your throat. I mean, my gag reflex, I can.
You ate it, huh? Like, you just swallowed the whole.
Actually,
like,
no. When it's something
whole swab.
When it's something where I need to suspend. Well, how do I say this?
What? I think there's no way to get out of this.
When I'm involved,
your throat. Yes, go on.
When I'm involved into something like maybe eating a meat pie, I can suspend my gag reflex. But when it's like swab, or when the doctor says "say ah" and he pushes that, I want to gag. Like, I did the COVID test in the Philippines when I went in December 2020, and I almost smacked the lady when she did that swab test in the back of the throat, or the back of the throat, because it's like a reflex. So just like, get away from me. It was painful.
Maybe it was just because she had a pussy. That's why you're like, ah, get away from me. Not even that.
Like McCoy said, he can suspend it, but maybe you are just pushing it to a limit, and she pushed your limit.
She sure did.
She was like, oh, you're not gagging yet, right? All right, let me go deeper. She was like, there you go.
Let me get in deeper than that. She's like, wow, you're American. Yeah, you're American.
Like, you should have checked if the swab had, like, mark lines, where she's probably like... okay, too much, too far. Like she's probably hitting which one, how far she can get it.
Yeah, she's probably getting off. It's a fetish. She's like, oh, I wonder how deep he could take this slob.
That's gross.
It's bustos. Well, thank you, Dee, for sharing about monkeypox.
So we have another one that's dropping.
Yes, we have another. I want to share this one because I'm so excited for this because it gives me a boner.
What?
Okay, I guess that didn't come out right. Sorry, I got too excited. It's a rosé. No. Okay, so the third thing that's dropping is that California, Gavin Newsom, the hottie politician guy, governor of California, is just announced that California is going to spend $100 million on producing insulin for diabetics. Like $50 million of that is going to go into, cost. And then $50 million is going to go into like creating a facility to produce insulin for Californians. How dope and sexy is that? So he says in Twitter, California is going to make its own insulin. It's simple. People should not go into debt to get life-saving medication. Don't you love that? And he's talking about about market failures more than, you know, the cost of insulin is like crazy expensive. I was talking to my mom about this.
For how much is it now?
It's like, I think my aunt was spending like over $1,000.
And this,
500 to over $1,000.
This measure will reduce it to how much?
At cost, he's predicted. So then that way it's just more accessible, but it would also reduce the cost because so there's only like three companies that make insulin right now. And it's not changing. And why is the inflation going so high for insulin? It's it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So California is the only state that's going to be doing this. And I love it. And then also means it also could be what if California sells it to the other states?
Or
California has a $45 billion surplus right now.
Yes. Or what if the U.S. Supreme Court gets its hands on this? And now California can no longer make their insulin.
You always rain on my parade, guys. okay, let's be honest. I have just a boner for Gavin Newsom and just California.
He's handsome. Yeah.
But he's handsome. But he's the only progressive liberal out there just challenging these right-wing conservative radicals. Like he's been doing ads in Florida. Challenging the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, saying California, these other red states, conservative states, the gun violence being killed is a lot higher per capita in what, 8 out of the 10 states. Mm. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and Ron DeSantis in Florida is always talking about America, patriotism, and Gavin Newsom's comment, I was like, you guys are banning books. You're telling women what to do with their bodies. That's not freedom.
And you still want to claim Florida again?
Yeah, you really want to suck that cock, McCoy, Florida cock, huh?
That was a hypothetical.
I'm just so excited for California. It's and California is also going to be, they're going to do a gas relief.
Yeah, I think we're supposed to be getting checks later this year.
Why is all the Democratic-led states the one footing all the bills for these conservative states? What the fuck? And then they have to talk to us about economy? Come on, yo. Come on.
Well, how much? Oh, maybe you don't know this offhand. Because don't we give a lot of money to the federal government, and then some states who are led by conservatives actually are asking money from the federal government. Yeah. We give, they ask.
Mississippi, mm-hmm. Kansas, yeah. They take more out of the federal budget than they put in. And we get less out, actually.
Yes.
Just saying, y'all. So don't be coming up talking about freedom and patriotism when y'all are yo. But you know what's interesting is that I went on you check on Twitter to see what the reactions from conservatives are to this. They can't really say much.
Well, what can they say? Well, I mean, they're going to say it's like a government overreach. Like, now you want big government, blah, blah, blah. But the people who actually need this welcome this because it's going to lower the cost. Who wants to pay expensive medication when they don't need to? They shouldn't have to.
And if you think about it, like, for Medicare, Medicaid, like, the government pays for it. So, like, it actually will save us more money.
Yeah.
By investing in creating our own medicine. You know, and I think it was a Canadian that created the patent for insulin, and it was sold for $1. So that way it's more accessible. And all of a sudden,
someone comes in,
they just blow up,
hike it up.
Yeah.
White people.
colonizers, they just throw in, making it all expensive. Just saying.
Well, you do have colonizers in your bloodline, so.
Yeah, I mean, we all do.
I don't.
Except you, McCoy. But, like, it's part of our history, so, you know, it's like, it's part of us.
I know, I'm just joking.
And you're in the U.S., so technically, you know, if you go back to the Philippines or colonizer, they stick a swab up your butt. I'm sorry, up your throat.
Oh, my God, that happened too, at that same clinic.
No way.
Yes, because they test for things like gonorrhea or something.
McCoy went to get a COVID test, and he got tested for gonorrhea.
No. Oh, my God, no. I was talking about the clinic where they did the swab thing.
Sure, McCoy.
For
sure.
Gonorrhea. Actually, no, that was on a private event. Just kidding. I don't do that. Or maybe I do.
So I don't know. I'm in love with California right now.
Well, it's the only safe place to go to right now. That's for us. Well, there's the other states, but
yeah.
At least it's the only one. I mean, it has its quirks, but at least it's not trying to kill us.
We pay a lot in taxes. Yes, that's true. But I gotta say too, you know, talking about Roe v. Wade for a second, is that Washington, Oregon, California, all the governors said that we're not gonna let this happen. We are with women in protecting their rights to abortion. So I do love that, the unity on the West Coast. West Coast vibes, hey.
Okay.
Until we melt away because of climate change.
Or we completely run out of water, which we are.
Or we'll burn down. I'm surprised that hasn't happened yet.
You guys just won't let me just have... Just give me a moment just before you rain on my parade. Like,
that's a problem, Greg. That's a problem is there's no rain. That's why we're in drought. And California's burning.
So, actually, correct me if I'm wrong, because I read this article where they were talking about how much we use water here in California. And with the increase in population, a massive increase in population, like our water usage didn't really go up. Because we have implemented a lot of rules and regulations to control water usage, and also there was like a public awareness about like water usage, especially when there's like a drought. So Californians are very aware, highly aware when things like this happen.
And you know one place in California that's not running out of water?
What?
San Diego.
They're what?
They are not running out of water.
What do they do?
Oh, because they have a desalination plant, and they also...
That's expensive, and that uses a lot of, like...
And guess what? And they're looking into technology to, make your piss into, like, drinking water.
Wait, doesn't Orange County already do that? Like, they filter...
I don't know if Orange County does, but I know San Diego's been doing that.
No, I think they do. I think they filter it to the point that it's almost clean to drink, and I think they put it underground for a while for like a natural filtration, and then they pull it back up or something like that.
Yes.
I don't know if it's all of Orange County or just like one city or a couple of towns, but I've heard of that technology. But as long as I don't know that I'm drinking my pee, I'm fine with it. Or they can use that water if it's not clean enough for drinking. They can use it for agriculture. Like, you know, a lot of our crops demand a lot of water, like almonds and avocados and all those.
Or pools. Just like pool water.
Pool. Oh. Well, it's already a pee water.
Exactly. So put it back in there.
That's hot. Just
put, what do you call those blue tabs from the toilet that you put in a tank. Yeah. So just put some in your pool, and it kind of like color balances the yellow with the blue. So it's
that's
like
so gross.
That's what that is for. Do you know that, right? Those tablets, it's the color correction. So your toilet doesn't will turn yellow in time. That blue color corrects it. So it's like not too yellow.
Wow.
Did you realize that? So you know, like when you edit a photo, you either go cold or warm.
Yeah.
So when something is yellow, warm, you correct it with blue. That's why they. That's what that is.
I'm gonna color balance my toilet right now
with blue.
Oh, wow. I find it hot. All right. So McCoy.
Yes.
What's the Filipino word of the day?
The Filipino word of the day is nakakapanlumo.
Ooh, that sounds like it's a fun one.
Nakakapanlumo.
Like, it's so uplifting, right?
Yeah, very, very uplifting.
Okay.
Nakakapanlumo? Is that what he said?
Nakakapanlumo.
Nakakapanlumo.
Yeah, there you go. That's good.
What does it mean?
It means emotionally depressing or appalling or harrowing.
See?
I swear to God, guys, you guys can be like nothing uplifting. You're just scatting on everyone's parade. Like, come on.
Well, I'll make it uplifting. I'll use it in a sentence.
Okay, what's the
sentence?
Spin this.
This Supreme Court decision is nakakapanlumo, but we should not be disheartened. Instead, we should be galvanized for the next chapter of this battle.
Nice. You did change it up. Mm-hmm. I like that. It was on a positive note. Never mind. I'm not going to say it again. Well, that is our show. If you like to leave a message, have a comment for us, have a question, just slip into our DMs, and you can by...
On social media, we're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at GamChat Podcast.
Or you can email us your questions at gamchatpodcast@gmail.com. Also, don't forget to rate us on Apple Podcast app and Spotify. So I don't fall into a nakakapanlumo state. Is that what it is?
That's good. That's good.
But D, you're always in a nakakapanlumo state.
Okay, so I don't fall deeper in a
nakakapanlumo state. Panlumo. Yeah, don't let D fall in that state deeper and deeper. Like McCoy's throat, apparently. And we're also part of Bunk Collective, a group of Filipino content creators. Visit the website at thebunkph.com, and we'll catch you on the next one.